Well, at this time, we will begin the ordination of Pastor Adam Flaw. The exact order or the protocol of what we call ordination is not outlined for us in the scriptures. In other words, the scriptures don't say do this and then this and then this, follow this order. Liberty is given as to the how of ordination. But the what and the why are more precise. Through ordination, or really specifically the laying on of hands, the elders of a local church recognize God's work in an individual, affirm his qualifications as genuine, and then ask God's blessing on that man as he shepherds others towards greater commitment to the Lord. So Adam Flaw has proven himself faithful and capable in ministry tasks. He has passed a doctrinal examination by his peers. That council met yesterday. And as the council met yesterday to examine Adam's call to ministry and Adam's doctrinal stability, at the conclusion of that, they wholeheartedly recommend that Wausau Bible Church ordains Adam Flaw to the gospel ministry. So it's a blessing, and we praise the Lord for that time together yesterday. Timothy was told in the scriptures by the Apostle Paul, Timothy was told to look back to his ordination, to that time of a laying on of hands for encouragement and strength. We trust that Adam will be able to do the same in the years to come as he reflects on God's faithfulness to call him into the gospel ministry. Paul instructed Timothy regarding the character of a shepherd. And in so doing, he outlined for all future shepherds, this is what it means to be a man who is walking and living for the Lord. And that instruction is not given to shepherds only. They are to be examples of that, but examples are meant to be followed. And so it's a challenge for all of us to walk in the character of the new birth, the life that God has called us to as he has saved us and adopted us into his family. At this time, I'm going to ask Ray Appleton to come. He is going to read those qualifications specifically today as they pertain to Adam Flaw. So, Ray, why don't you come?
We're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first 7 verses. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil.
From time to time, when I get done preaching, I'll be talking to somebody here in the auditorium or out in the lobby, and they will say to me, all right, you were preaching directly at me. Maybe you felt that before. That's the work of the word as it cuts and divides into our lives and helps us see ourselves and see God for who we really are and who he really is. But Adam, I can say this, today I am preaching directly to you. Okay, so I have the privilege of bringing the charge to the candidate, okay, to the one being ordained. In just a minute, we have a special guest who will come and bring the charge to the congregation. So as I warned my kids yesterday, there are two messages today that we will be going through. But again, it's my privilege to be able to speak directly to Adam, but Lord willing, we will all glean from these words from the Scriptures. I'd ask you to take your Bible and open to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 6 through 10. And in this challenge from God's Word to Adam and to all of us, three necessary warnings for anyone who wishes to be worth anything for God as they live in this world. I would say that a true believer would want to be used by the God who has saved their soul. And if we want to be used by this God, there are three necessary warnings that come out of this text if we are going to be worth anything to Him for eternity. Again, we understand that it is He who works in us. He doesn't save us because of our cleverness. He doesn't save us because, oh, they would be good for this task because of our skill. He saves us because we're needy sinners. And all who call upon the name of the Lord are gloriously saved and then adopted into, they're made a new creature and adopted into the family of God. Three necessary warnings for anyone who wishes to be worth anything for God in this world. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Warnings for us aren't bad news. Warnings don't mean failure. So if I was to warn you, Adam, it doesn't mean that you have failed or assume bad news is coming. Warnings are actually good news. There is a hope there in a warning that wisdom will prevail and that you will listen and apply in order to keep on track. And so the three warnings to you today out of our text. Number one, warning number one, Adam, you are not invincible. Because of that, you may be tempted to forget God. Verses 6 and 7 again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same manner as you have received, in the same manner in which you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. What manner was that? It was by grace through faith. So walk or conduct your life, whether it be ministry life or family life or leisure life, the whole of your existence, by grace through faith, walk that way in Him. I said you are not invincible, and so you may be tempted to forget God. That is especially true of those in ministry. We begin to lean on our own abilities, run our plan, craft our ministry portrait, whatever that may look like, press on or coast in our own strength. We may be tempted to forget God. What Paul challenges the Colossian believers with is this, is that as you go through your life, remember that salvation is not something for just the future. It is something that begins now. God has saved you now. And so in the same manner as you have received Christ by grace through faith, so conduct your life, walk in Him by grace through faith. Verse 7 is a bit of an illustration. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith. The rooted means this is a foundational truth. It's something that is going to anchor you. It is going to hold you tightly, rooted, and then progressively built up in Him. And so we can see these massive trees that we have around us, and these massive trees are rooted, and they are not top-heavy. Right, the way, if you've ever removed a tree, it's not the leafy branches that are all that heavy. It is that root ball that is caked with dirt, nearly impossible to move. So Adam, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord by grace through faith, walk, conduct your life by grace through faith, because you are rooted and then built up and established in the faith in Christ. What's interesting is what follows. As you have been taught. This is a reference to edification. Edification is an interesting concept because it's not just, hey, you need to do better. It's not just a punch in the arm saying, come on, big boy, you can do it. Edification means to receive instruction with the expectation to heed it. So I'm going to give you instruction, and I fully expect you to see it through. Adam, you have had the wonderful privilege of what many would call discipleship. From the moment of your salvation, as you were in Nebraska, there were men who invested in your life, who repeatedly took you to the Scriptures to help you see Jesus accurately, to help you understand what it means to live life in Him. You have been instructed. While you've been here at Wausau Bible Church, the instruction has been repeated. And as you have prepared for your ordination council yesterday, you have been instructed by the Word. Edification and exhortation say, okay, there's going to be an instruction given and an expectation to grow in that instruction. Adam, this has been given. And as Paul communicates with the believers at Colossae, he says to them that they have been rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. They're walking by grace through faith and admonished to do that. This is how they've been taught. It is weighty. Your teaching makes a difference. As you have been taught, the things that you hear, the things that we glean from teaching episodes, preaching episodes, classroom situations, conversations with other believers, there is an expectation of obedience. But notice from our text, it is not weighty, something which we should feel the pressure of and be counted out. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Praise God for His interaction in our lives. Praise God for the assembly, for the body of believers who comes alongside. You are not invincible, and so you may be tempted to forget God, but walk in Him. As you have been saved by grace through faith, walk in Him by grace through faith, and do that with great joy because the church walks with you. Warning number two, you are not unpersuadable. so you may be tempted to replace God. Now, we would sit here in this room and say, well, who would do that? Books will be written. Articles will be promoted. Movements will be championed. Conferences will be popularized. Paul says to the church at Colossae, beware. He doesn't say don't ever interact with anybody outside of your own. What he says is be careful, beware, be alert. You are not unpersuadable. So you may be tempted to replace God. Beware. This is the warning given because what is about to be communicated will be faced. Beware, lest anyone cheat you. Cheat means to lead astray to an empty reward. In other words, the promise is made, but the promise cannot possibly be kept. Six ways to guarantee church growth. Those articles are all over the internet. You're a failure as a pastor if you don't heed these five laws for church growth. But they can't deal out what they promised. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. The ways of men are attractive, but they are a fleeting temporal pleasure for a season. In fact, they follow the basic principles of this world. They are not according to Christ. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Playing off of verses 6 and 7, there is great blessing in being in Christ. You may be tempted to forget God, live in Christ. You may be tempted to replace God with empty philosophy, with vain teachings. I'm so thankful for the advice I was given 34 whatever years ago. When I was in Bible college, Dr. Les Olola was the president of Northland at the time, and he used to tell us on a regular basis, do not love the ministry. He said, wait a minute. He would tell that to the preacher boys, the young men who wanted to be pastors. Yeah, he would tell them, do not love the ministry. But I thought, I mean, we want them to love the ministry. No, he would finish by saying, do not love the ministry. Love the God of the ministry. Because there are times when the ministry is not lovely. We are people, right? Aren't there times when you are not really lovely? When I am not lovely? Something we say, something we do causes consternation in the lives of those around us. Do not love the ministry. Do not replace God with ministry techniques. Do not replace God with a book on ministry philosophy. You may be tempted to replace God because you are not unpersuadable. So guard that which has influence in your life. Beware. That warning is given again because the temptation is real. So you're not invincible, and because of that, you may be tempted to forget God. You're not unpersuadable, and so you may be tempted to replace God with ministry techniques. Number three, third warning, last one. You are not irreplaceable, yet you will be tempted to underestimate God. In other words, you will be tempted to run ministry in your own strength and do ministry in your own cleverness. Just run your plan, just craft your own portrait, as we said before. And yet in doing so, there will be seasons of discouragement, and there will be seasons of doubt and seasons of anger and seasons of failure and seasons of question. Verse 10, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. From a spiritual standpoint, Adam, you are complete in him because Christ is your spirituality. He is the one who makes it possible for you to be accepted by God, to be used by God, to be a voice for God, to be a representative for God, to be an ambassador for God. From a ministry standpoint, you are complete in him. From a personal growth and holiness standpoint, you are complete in him. Why? He is the head of all principality and power. So whether people acknowledge it or not, he is the only one who is all sufficient. You are complete only in him. He is your sufficiency. You are not sufficient. The sooner we all realize that, the better off we'll be. I am not sufficient to carry out God's plan as it involves my life. We are not sufficient, but he is. And we are only complete in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, in Christ we have all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. In Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, my grace, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Ephesians 1, 3, we have in Christ, and on the chapter goes with all of these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Here's the point. MacArthur states it well, having the Lord Jesus Christ is to have everything needed in this spiritual life for time and eternity. To have Christ is to have everything. To not have him is to have nothing and be nothing. You are insufficient. But your Savior is all sufficient. Adam, the wicked one would love to take you out of the game. But we are praying for you, and we are here for you. You may be tempted to forget God. But walking in God's grace by faith in Christ as your cornerstone will help you remember him. You may be tempted to replace God. Yet living in the knowledge of Christ and his immeasurable power will help to keep Christ as the focal point of your life and ministry. And Adam, you may be tempted to underestimate God. However, we will help you recall that it is the power that raised Jesus from the dead that works in you. You are insufficient, but he is all sufficient. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord. May God bless you as you heed the warnings of Scripture and find all of your worth not in ministry accomplishments, but in him alone. It's our privilege to have Pastor Dwayne Nelson with us today. Dwayne is a pastor at Indian Hills Community Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. In fact, Dwayne continues to serve as one of the pastors there, but over Adam, as Adam matured in his walk with the Lord. And I've invited Dwayne to challenge us as a congregation today. So may the Lord work in you as you open God's word for us, Dwayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. I did tell a pastor friend of mine I'm coming up here to Wisconsin to be part of Adam's ordination. He said his wife is from Wisconsin, and he told me I needed to say three things. I love God, love and serve Adam, and go Packers. Yeah. Let's close in prayer, and we'll be done. Yeah. It is my joy and privilege to be here, to be part of Adam's ordination. What a privilege. I've known Adam for 14 years, and Elizabeth even longer. And I praise God for the work he's done in Adam's life. I thought about what stories I could tell about Adam, but I remembered he might return the favor someday. So I'm going to avoid that. We knew each other when we were young men, so hopefully we've matured since then. Let me just say about Adam. I've known him since really he was saved. And four things have stood out to me in Adam's life over the years, from the earliest days and only have grown in the years down to today. Number one, his love for his God and Savior. Number two, his love for the Word of God and his study. I was proven again yesterday in his ordination, his knowledge of the Word, and that's years of studying it. Number three, his love for the church and the people of God. I'm sure you've experienced that in the last year. He throws himself and Elizabeth too into serving God's people. And number four, his love for the lost and his love for evangelism. So praise God for his work. We miss him in Lincoln, but we think you're very blessed to have him in your midst here. Well, as Pastor Chris said, he just charged Adam specifically as he takes on a new role in ministry. And he's asked me to charge you as a church, especially in your relationship to Adam. And I have 7 points. We're going to go pretty fast this morning. 7 points, 7 scriptural points, 7 biblical exhortations to you as a church in relationship to Adam and really in relationship to all the different leaders here at Wausau Bible Church. We're going to go to a couple different passages, but the first passage we're going to, and we'll have the first couple points, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to run through 7 biblical exhortations to the church, to you, about Adam and all the leaders here. First exhortation is going to be to love and appreciate Adam and really all your elders and leaders here, to love and appreciate. And this comes specifically out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 13. Look at verse 12. Paul writes, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, "We request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction." The command here is to appreciate. The word, the Greek word behind it is literally to know. The idea is to know, to understand the value that Adam, that Chris, that the other elders, that the other leaders here in the church, to know and appreciate the value that they bring to your life as a believer. Appreciate them. Adam's job and the other leader's job is to diligently labor. And they do have a charge over God's flock, not as dictators, but as servant leaders and shepherds. And they are, as Chris just mentioned, to give instruction. Tied with this, verse 13, he says, "And that you esteem them very highly in love." That's very strong language. Believers are to esteem very highly in love the leaders God has placed over them. He could have just said, esteem them. He could have just said, love them. But he piles up these words to stress it. Strong language. Esteem them. Appreciate them. Understand their value. And then closely tied to that, esteem them very highly in love. And verse 13 says, because of their work. Because of their work. It's not necessarily you like every joke I tell, or Chris tells, or you like Adam's personality exactly, or he likes the sports team you like, or he's charismatic like you want him to be. But esteem them very highly in love. View them very highly because of their work. The work of having charge over the flock of God. Their work of instructing you and opening up the riches of God's word. So first instruction, and we could, you know, so much more could be said in each one of these points. But we have two sermons back to back, so we got to move quickly. But first point, love and appreciate Adam and Chris and the other elders and leaders here because of the work that God has given them to do in your midst. Point number two, serve alongside Adam, don't fight against him. And that's true of Chris and the other elders too. And this comes out of the end of verse 13 and verse 14. Live at peace, verse 13. Live at peace with one another. Interesting to me, he just gives instructions on how the flock is to view their leaders, to esteem them very highly, to appreciate them. Next command, live at peace. If you've been a believer for many years, you know that sometimes believers don't live at peace with one another. Sometimes believers don't live at peace with the leadership God has given. But so the command, and it's an imperative, it's a command, live in peace. That include with the leaders, that include with one another. So don't fight against Chris or Adam or your leaders. You know, you might disagree with a decision here and there. If it's not contrary to the Word of God, live at peace. Put aside your own personal preferences. Give preference to one another in love. And then verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Our point, number two, is serve alongside Adam, don't fight against him. Live at peace and serve alongside. You know, the pastor, Pastor Chris, Pastor Adam, the elders here, the ministry is not all on them. They don't have all the gifts, frankly. They're not good at everything. Every single believer here, every single believer in every church around the world is not only God's child, God's servant, but also specially gifted by God to serve in the body God has placed them in. Don't expect Adam to do everything. The instructions of verse 14 talk about the body's life, how we relate to one another. Admonish the unruly. Adam will have to do that at times. Chris will have to do that at times. But, you know, don't put it all on them. If you have a close relationship with a believer, in their own, maybe you should admonish them. He also says, encourage the faint-hearted. And again, Adam and Chris have a special role in this, and the elders, the leaders, but so do you. You have a believer you're working with, they're downhearted, they're discouraged. Well, you might talk to Chris, you might talk to Adam about him, but first, maybe you can be used. The ministry is not all on the leaders. Leaders have a key role, but every believer's gifted to serve. Help the weak. Again, we're here to help one another. Adam doesn't have all the gifts. Don't expect too much out of your leaders. Don't expect too little. We heard from 1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, the character qualifications of the leader. Don't expect too little, but don't expect too much on the one hand. They're mere men. Mere men gifted by God, by His grace, but they can't do it all. So our point number two is serve alongside your leaders. Don't fight against them. Live at peace and look to minister with your gifts in the body. Again, this is a bullet point list. Point number three, be patient. Be patient with Adam, with Chris, with all the leaders, and with all men. This is the end of verse 14. Be patient with everyone. The weak, the faint-hearted, the unruly, yes, and Adam and your leaders. Again, Adam doesn't have all the gifts. Adam will make mistakes. Adam might have differences than you in an area of indifference. Well, be patient. Adam's a believer called by God to serve in the ministry, but he is a saint, but he is still a sinner. So be patient with Adam and with everyone. You know, the church is a family, right? Believers have been saved. God Almighty has been made their heavenly Father. And that means we have a relationship for this life and for eternity with one another. You know, we have some little kids here. They're doing great right now. Good job, kids. But you know, those you love, you're patient with, right? So because you hopefully are loving Adam and Elizabeth, appreciating them, be patient with them. as you serve together. Point number four comes from verse 15. And point number four is, seek Adam's good. Verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after what is good for one another and all people. Not only be patient with differences, but forgive sin. See that no one repays evil for evil to anyone. That's true in the body. And leaders make mistakes. Leaders still do even sin. Now, we don't overlook sin. We deal with it biblically. But it's a reality that every pastor left alive on this world is still a sinner. So as Adam sins, you deal with it biblically. There's times you have to deal, admonish the unruly, but forgive. Don't repay evil for evil. And positively, always seek. That's a strong word. Other places, that's translated persecute. Always seek with a vigor after what is good for one another and all people. Again, this command is broader than just your responsibility to Adam. But it included Adam, wouldn't it? Adam is to serve you. Leaders in the biblical model are servants. He is to serve you. But should be a two-way street. Not only should he be serving you as he leads and ministers and teaches, but you should be serving him by your attendance, by encouragement, by using your gifts. One huge way you can serve your leaders, Adam included, is to pray for them. There's probably nothing more important you can do for a fellow believer. Probably nothing more important you could do for Adam or for Pastor Chris or the elders than to pray for them. Every single believer has the awesome privilege to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. For our own personal lives and for one another. So pray for Adam, pray for Elizabeth, pray for your leaders. Probably the best thing you can do for him is to take him before the Lord in prayer. Lord, help Adam to be holy. Lord, help Adam to be growing in your word. Lord, help Adam to be encouraged. And the list goes on. Just in a practical way, how to pray for pastors. Pray for us as often as you think of us. Even if there's a disagreement, still pray for us. But especially maybe pray for your pastors, Adam included, on Saturday and Monday. Saturday, often the minister, the preacher, the pastor has a lot of work to do. Put the finishing touches on the message. So pray for them then. They have clear focus, handle God's word accurately, and present something that you would understand and grow from. Obviously, pray for them Sunday and every day of the week. But also pray for them Monday. Sometimes, if I can just speak honestly, sometimes Mondays can be rough. You pour your heart and soul into serving, into a message, if you have the privilege to teach that week. And God uses his word through weak and frail vessels like us, but sometimes the pastor can maybe feel a little discouraged or down Sunday afternoon or Monday. So especially pray for them then. So pray for Adam and Elizabeth and all your leaders. That's 4 points from this passage in 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Timothy, if you would. So much could be said, but you have faithful leaders here, so I don't have to say it all. I'll trust Chris and Adam and the elders to keep teaching you God's word. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, 2 points from this text, then one from another text. Point number 5 overall, charge to you in relationship to your leaders, Adam included. Number 5, provide for their needs. And this comes directly out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The elder who rules well is to be considered of double honor, especially those who work hard at teaching and preaching. And most would agree there is a monetary aspect involved there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, he who is taught the word is to share all good things with him who teaches the word. So provide. Adam must not chase riches or wealth. They lead to destruction and ruin of many. Adam should not be in the ministry for riches, and he's probably not going to be. Sorry, Adam. But do provide for the best that you can as a church, in wisdom with the other advice of leaders, but provide for financially and other ways, as I know you have. vacation in other ways, and just other ways in as God lays on your heart, the elder who rules well is to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at teaching and preaching. God's instruction for us, so provide for your leaders adequately. Point number 6, protect your leaders. Protect Adam, protect Elizabeth. This comes from verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 18, still with providing for, gives the illustration, don't muzzle the ox while it's threshing. The laborer is worthy of his wages. But then verse 19, protect your leaders. It says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of 2 or 3 witnesses. Don't believe everything you hear if just one person says it. The elders don't have more protection, if I can say it that way, don't have less protection than other members of the body. The same basic principles behind this verse as Matthew 18. So just because someone says something about Pastor Adam, Pastor Chris, don't say, oh, I knew it. I knew he liked the Huskers still. He lives in Wisconsin now. Or whatever, yeah, that's a goofy. Don't accept an accusation. The devil's alive and well. The devil is not bound. The devil wants to discourage believers and divide churches. And often he comes after the leaders. Often he uses the mouth, that little fire in our mouth, the tongue, to bring destruction on the church, amongst the body and as people speak against leaders. Now, if there is true accusations, 2 or 3 credible witnesses, you know, don't put Adam on his pedestal. He's not beyond error. Pastors really don't have more or less protection in one hand than every sheep in the fold. But watch out for gossip. Do you see what Elizabeth did? I don't want to give any illustrations. I don't have any. You know what he did on his day off? Be careful. Be careful. If there is sin, accusations of sin, again, it must be proven, not hearsay. No, I don't like this, I don't like that. So protect your elders. Don't hold them up too high or too low. Only accusations that are credible should be brought. Our last point comes from Hebrews chapter 13. And maybe you're thinking about this already. Our 7th point, exhortation and charge to you as a church when it comes to Adam as your pastor and other leaders here. Hebrews chapter 13, 2 verses from this. And the point is, follow your leaders. Follow your leaders. Not if they lead you contrary to the word of God. Be like a Berean, constantly examining to see what Adam, what other leaders say by the word of God. But if you're leading by the word of God, follow your leaders. 2 aspects of this. Number 1, follow their godly example. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. Consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Follow their example. Elders must be godly, not perfect, but they must be godly, giving an example for the flock. One thing that the body must do, the flock must do, is follow that godly example. Imitate, not everything they do. You're gifted differently than Adam. But imitate Adam's, Chris's faith. Second aspect of this charge is follow their leadership. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Here it is. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. Follow their faith, example, follow their leadership. Again, not if they lead contrary to the word of God, but this is a command of the word of God. Obey your leaders, submit to them. What if Chris says, instead of 9:30, we're going to start church at 9:37, and the elders agree? Well, I guess you adjust your schedule a little bit. That's just an easy example, right? Things will get harder when there's actual more disagreement. You might not have all the information involved in making a decision. You might disagree. If it's not contrary to the word of God, The Word of God tells us to obey our leaders, submit to them. And Adam and Chris will give an account to Jesus Christ for you. As I look out on you, that's a sobering thing. Chris will stand before Jesus Christ, and as long as he is here, he'll give an account for your souls. So follow them, obey them, and let them do this with joy. Don't be a grumbler. Don't plant your heels in the ground and just say, no, I won't go. In a godly way, follow. One bonus point. Bonus point is point number one again. Love your Adam, Elizabeth, your leaders, and esteem them very highly in love and appreciate them. If you do that, all the other things will kind of start to fall in place. You'll pray for them. You'll follow their example. You'll serve them. You'll seek their good. So appreciate them, Adam, and your leaders, and esteem them very highly in love. Praise God for his work here. Praise God for his work with Adam's life the last 14 years, and hopefully many more to come if the Lord tarries. Let's pray. Lord, do thank you for this special day of Adam's ordination. Lord, just pray that Adam will be challenged, encouraged to live for you with zeal and holiness. Pray for the church here, Wausau Bible Church. They would be encouraged and challenged and comforted to live according to your word as it relates to Adam and all the leaders here. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, his love and his death for us. We give you the thanks and praise for today in his name. Amen.
Laying out of hands is specifically in relation to prayer. And in praying for Pastor Adam, what we are doing, obviously, is asking God to use him and to bless his ministry as he serves the Lord. But also, in many ways, there is an inclusion and a transfer of leadership. The leadership, the decisions that are being made at Wausau Bible Church and ministries to come, we recognize that Adam's involvement in that is scriptural and authoritative. And so we praise the Lord for that act of confirmation. And so at this time, we are going to pray for Adam, and I've asked three of our elders, Jim, Dale, and Lyle, in that order, if they would lead us in prayer as we lay hands on Pastor Adam. So would you join us as we pray?
Father in heaven, we rejoice in what you've done in the life of Adam. The Savior has called him, he's taught him, and he's greatly using him in ministry today. And Adam, as you stand on the threshold of a lifetime of ministry, we rejoice with you. Our passionate concern, Lord, is that you will use Adam way beyond his highest expectations. We know that you are able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And today we thank you for Adam's family, his parents, his wife, his loved ones, his friends, his teachers, his mentors, godly men and women who have built into his life, preparing him uniquely for the occasion to which you're calling him. And we pray that you will keep Adam clean in the midst of a corrupt generation. May he shine his light in the midst of a darkened world. We pray that you'll use him with increasing effectiveness for your greater glory. Your word tells us that when you call us to do anything, you'll always provide the resources needed. And may Adam draw deeply from the rich well of grace that you offer. We're excited to think of how desperately he is needed. A man who's committed to the gospel of the grace of God, the exposition of the word of God, and the faithful and loving service in the will of God. Keep him on his knees, learning the power of prayer and always asking the question, is it really worth doing anything if I can do it without prayer? Give him the passion of our Savior, who at the end of his life commanded his disciples, go therefore and make disciples. Father, as a good shepherd, go before Adam. Lead him in a plain path to do your will and to do it courageously. Keep him from sin. And in his successes, Lord, prevent him from believing his own press reports and humble him under the mighty hand of God. Multiply his giftedness to extend and enrich the body of Christ. reproduce him in the body of Christ, Lord, the heart of Christ, the life of Christ. And now, Adam, we exhort you. Acts 20:32 states, now I commit you to God and to the word of grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And we ask it expectantly and believedly in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we know that Pastor Adam's desire through all of this is that all the glory would be to you this day. Thank you for making your call to serve you plain to him and his willingness to receive that call, and for the wisdom and knowledge of your word that you've given him. Father, we thank you for bringing he and Elizabeth to Wausau Bible Church, and we know that wherever you lead them in the future, that they will be in your loving care and in your perfect will. Father, give him wisdom beyond his years to serve you. And Father, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've shown each one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray, amen.
Father, as we come before you now, we want to thank you for the choice that you made to bring the Wausau Bible Church in Adam. You are Almighty God, and you can't make a mistake. And so we thank you for the one that you have provided to us in Adam. And Lord, we read in the book of Job about how Job had that wall and hedge of protection around him put there by you, and what it was for. Lord, that was already mentioned before. We need to pray and pray and pray for you to protect Adam and for that hedge to be able to remain invincible to the darts of Satan, the deceitfulness of Satan, all of the different tactics of Satan, because, Lord, he would just love to hinder in one way or another Adam's, the ministry that you've given to Adam, and then eventually bring destruction to the church. We see that so much today. So, Father, I pray, please put that wall of protection around him. And I pray for each of us to be united in prayer each and every day for not only Adam, but also, Lord, for Pastor Chris and for all of us. So accept our thanks, Father, for, again, choosing for us, Pastor Adam, to come to minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a privilege for us to present this to Adam, or his certificate of ordination, after presenting a satisfactory statement. That's good. A satisfactory statement of his conversion, call to ministry, and views of Bible doctrine, Adam Bradley Flaw was solemnly and publicly ordained to the gospel ministry on the 16th day of October 2022 at the Wausau Bible Church of Wausau, Wisconsin. This is important. This is somewhat less important, but a gift from Wausau Bible Church to continue to build your ministry library, and to God be the glory. Amen.
It's a privilege to get to be here and serve you all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks.